This is Steve Schrock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 527 in the series. This session of the show shares my Talk Franklin conversation with Town Administrator Jamie Helen and Marketing Communications Specialist Anne-Marie Tracy. We had our conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. We talk about Earth Day, not just April 22nd, but out and about April 24th with cleanup efforts, and then throughout the year. Budget hearings coming up April 27, 28, 29, and May 4. Reopening, mask, hygiene reminders, still good advice, a rabies clinic as a non-COVID thing coming May 1st. Links to the key topics covered here are included in the show notes. The recording runs around 31 minutes. So let's listen to my conversation with Jamie and Anne-Marie. So Steve Schrock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet at WFPR.FM, and in the local Franklin area dial at 102.9, here for another Talk Franklin session with our town administrator, Jamie Helen. Happy Friday, Jamie.
Happy Friday, Steve.
And marketing communications specialist Anne-Marie Tracy. Happy Friday to you too, Anne-Marie.
Hey. Hi, Steve. Happy Friday.
Yes. And we're in April. It's sunny. It's a bit breezy still, but it's going to be some decent weather.
80 degrees next week, but who's looking?
I saw that too. I'm always looking.
But there's always, you know, the ups and the downs. It was, what, 20 overnight. So it's like, ah, come on.
My house is confused. I keep going with the heat on, the heat off, the heat on, the heat off.
Indeed.
Next week, you'll need the air conditioning. Then it'll be really confused.
Then it'll be very confused.
Right. But I think, if anything, with the pandemic, certainly making us much more aware, hopefully. Earth Day, we just celebrated, and we've got some events happening this weekend so that a bunch of folks from through recreation coordination and then at the community garden will be helping do some cleanup and some good stuff, as well as enjoying the fresh air while we're at it.
Looks to be a gorgeous day. You know, I'll be down there, you know, that Saturday, the Earth Day celebration. And, you know, I might get my years wrong with this, Steve, but I want to say this is now 21 years. I think Ryan and I think Alan Earls and a whole slew of other folks in town helped coordinate this. And it's a great cleanup effort. You know, of course, we wish in a perfect world we didn't have to do this, but obviously we don't live in a perfect world, and you know, but it's a good thing for a lot of citizens to get together. The weather looks to be about nice and 68-70 and sunny. I'm looking forward to going out and get some walking in and some exercise, and you know, try to clean up some of our gorgeous streets. You know, usually you know, Elm Street, Lincoln, Upper Union, there's a whole bunch of streets normally that we do. And you know, just can't say enough to Ryan Jetty and the rec department and everybody in Allen and the whole crew to be able to sponsor something like this. And I should note, even last year, it was not a year off. They did a great job last year, you know, making sure that everything was socially distant, and it's kind of an honor system. And I think the same situation is going to be for this year too. So it's a great way to celebrate a community that is a certified green community by the state of Massachusetts for, will now be in our fourth year, I believe, third fiscal year. You know, it's something we're proud of in town. I mean, as I frequently say, you hear all this time, you hear this all the time, Steve, but for the folks that are listening, you know, Franklin does a really great job on this stuff. You know, over 90% of all the electricity used by our school buildings and our municipal facilities, streetlights, public properties is derived from the solar farm on Union Street. Yep. Near the Nuns Land.
Sure.
And, you know, you look at all the other accomplishments the staff have been able to get done, Mike D'Angelo and with our facilities in terms of having energy efficient buildings, as the Castle Blue study just showed, the school department did, that we have extraordinarily well-maintained facilities. And of course, this year marks a hallmark year for the town of Franklin, a historic year where we will look back in, I don't know, 10 years, maybe, Steve. You know, we're going to look back and say 2020 was not only the year of the pandemic, it was also the year that the town of Franklin invested and bought through a grant program at the state our first two electric vehicles into the town fleet. So, you know, it may seem like a little bit now, but the public has to also respect the fact that, you know, we take little these little steps to make sure we're doing the right things. And we're going to see how these electric vehicles work out for our town hall staff. These will be namely to replace the cars that are used now for the assessors, the Board of Health, the municipal building team, mm-hmm. Who go out and do inspections. And,
yeah,
you know, 2020 was the year we were able to get our first grant to get electric vehicles. So it's kind mm-hmm. of exciting. And it's nice to reflect a little bit on Earth Day.
Yeah, in addition to some of the electric chargers that clearly were put in, like at the Big Y where it's out and visible, you've got some behind the municipal building, and then a couple were installed recently up at the library too.
And from what I understand, at the library, they've been used a lot more than we think, which is great. The ones on the other side of the municipal building are open to the public and they are free. But they are hard to find, and that was mainly just due to the electricals and where we had to install them coming out of the municipal building.
Right.
And ultimately, we do see those spaces, though, in the back of the building, mostly for town fleet vehicles, you know, and the building commissioner, you know, will look into at some point getting an electric vehicle. And, you know, but, you know, we take this step this year to have those two new cars. And I just want to give, you know, Alicia Aline a shout out in my office, who's our executive assistant, who's like our executive assistant plus, because yeah, she's also exactly. managing our green communities program now. So, among many other things, so it's great times.
Yep. And while we're talking the building, the drive up window was fixed this week. In regards, not so much fixed, but the building window replacement process addressed that particular aspect and is continuing to work through the building. So for people who are wondering what's going on, that's what's happening.
If you see, everybody sees all the cranes around the town hall, we're doing a cosmetic and minor structural fix. Anyone who's been in my office, the town administrator's office, or the superintendent, or a few others knows that some of the drainage when the building was built originally in the 80s wasn't done maybe to the best longevity plan that was there. And so we do get a lot of leaks. The councilors, of course, and the finance committee members and others in town who are in town hall a lot are very familiar with it. Mm-hmm. So this year they were supportive of $500,000 to replace all the windows, which ironically on Earth Day, just as a side bit that you happen to mention it, Steve, all of the windows now will be tinted and will be up to 2020 standards, which is actually really good for energy usage. One of the biggest downsides of the building is, and Amory can understand this, it's very, very hot and very, very cold. It's very difficult to make that building what we would normally think of as a modern building. It looks brand new because it's well maintained, but this is really the last big piece that's going to make the energy efficiency of the town municipal building as good as it's ever been. And I learned through this process myself, it all comes down to windows. Windows are a big deal. And in this case, the windows will now reflect a huge portion of sunlight, which will enable the building to be a much more stable temperature.
I'm looking forward to that for sure. I know the people whose windows have already been replaced have said it has made a huge difference. So I'm looking forward to them making their way to my space.
Yeah, and I think it will also cut down on some of the sun glare at the particular evenings for council meetings, school committee meetings, whatever's in the school chamber or in the council chambers at this particular time of the year. And then clearly in the fall, you get that sunset coming in right in the chair's eyes. Yep. So it's hard to read, and it does look pretty, but it's hard to function with the wind, with the sun in your eyes like that too.
Well, as a side joke, the last couple of meetings was not just the windows. It was that the contractor forgot to put the blind back up. We're going to fix that for the finance committee hearings this week. But your point is well taken. And just personally, and I know the superintendent likes this too, I kind of like having the blinds open. You know, I do like light. And sometimes I think from a public standpoint, when you're driving by, you know, yeah, we know why blinds are there, but I like the blinds open. And this will kind of be a win-win, because not only will we be able to have the blinds wide open, to get some light in. You know, we're going to create a more energy efficient atmosphere, but also you won't get as much, hopefully, sun glare, solar glare that you're talking about, Steve, because no matter what way you cut it, there are those couple times a year where the sun just sets right at 7:15 and bam, it's right in their face.
Definitely. So blinds or not, you'll at least have some of that, you know, UV filtering, whatever is required. That's
right. Exactly.
But then you also mentioned the town council certainly had approved money, but the real big discussion coming up next week or beginning next week is four sets of the four nights, three next week and then one the following Tuesday for the budget hearings.
Yeah. Yeah. If the listeners out there want to know what's going on in their town budget and how the town government and school district spend the $138 million annual appropriation, which includes all the water, sewer, and trash accounts as well. Now's your time. I think, as you've said before, Steve, you know, obviously our budget's gone through a series of shorter meetings, but still meetings with the council and school committee and finance committee over the last couple of months to get an idea of where things stand. We did a primer for the finance committee last month, and now's the real hearings. These four nights, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Tuesday is going to be general government, culture and arts, library, senior center, all the smaller departments, the ones that oftentimes go well unnoticed. And then Wednesday night is going to be public safety, police, fire, inspections, and the regional dispatch center. Thursday, the 29th, will be the DPW gets their own night.
Mm-hmm.
And then on May 4th, also the schools have their entire night to themselves. So four nights, plenty of opportunities for folks to listen in. We fully respect, by the way, that a lot of people don't want to participate. They don't really want to ask questions, or they may not really want to get engaged in that sense. But I hope a lot of listeners out there take a few minutes to kind of join us. Just to get an idea of, you know, where the money's spent, how the process goes, become a little more familiar with it. A lot of that knowledge goes a long way. And, you know, so hopefully people will join us on their chosen night of whatever they might be interested in. And as you've said before, Steve, and I think it's accurate, you know, these are the hearings. These four nights really are the ones that, you know, where I think, you know, you have an opportunity to find out a lot more detail about each individual budget. It might not be what a lot of people think it is, but the facts are right out there in front of them. And people can go onto the website at franklinma.gov, and there's a town budget portal right there on the homepage. If you miss it, you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty centrally located. You just go into FY22 budget materials. And Steve, you've poked through a lot of them. How many pages do you think we have?
Oh, I think I heard
total. You.
It's probably close to 1,000 or something like that.
So, I mean, it might not be that high. But, well, I mean, when you include all of the appendices and updates and background, I mean, the budget narrative is 130 pages as required by charter. The voting document, the regular budget's another 150 pages or whatever it is, 60 pages. So you're looking at 500 pages of stuff. Historical numbers, and it's all keyword searchable. So, yeah. You know, folks only care about one thing, please just go in and search. We've tried to make it very user-friendly for people to find what they're looking for.
Indeed. And yeah, to reinforce the point you've mentioned that I've certainly mentioned before, it's one key place where I learn more of what's the ins and the outs and what's the trends, what's the drivers, what do we really need to look for and hear so that, because the devil's always in the detail. And sometimes we don't necessarily catch all those details that, that's why that's happening. Yeah, that makes sense. But there's always a story there, and this is where the stories come out.
I agree. Yeah. And, you know, the finance committee, I think, has been doing a great job. I mean, it's really hard if you're them. I mean, we have a full professional staff that lives, breathes, and sleeps and eats this stuff of what we do in our careers, right? And as a volunteer, it can sometimes be hard. And as a citizen, it can be very intimidating to read all this stuff. We try to boil it down to the basic narrative as best as we can for each department, you know, and try to keep it brief and short to have people understand, you know, where a lot of their money goes. And mm-hmm. once people usually find out there's not a lot of fat in all these budgets and that things are justified either from a statutory responsibility, like the Board of Health, you know, with septic and public health nursing,
right.
You know, to the senior center in terms of grants that we get from the state to pay for people and how that affects their service level. Any department, even the smaller ones, people can find out a little bit more detail of where the expenses go.
Yeah, and I've, to that end, I've been helping to the extent I can in terms of my looking through. I've been working through appendix by appendix and taking some of the numbers there and then positioning them as a chart to mm-hmm. try and at least catch somebody's attention. Well, why is the number, why is the line going that way? What's this here? At least to yep. have them look and see and get a better understanding and then go to the details if they need to. And then while you've gotten and mentioned the town budget button, schools have a similar button on their page. So Chloe, you've also right. got the school budget piece within the town page, because that's where it belongs as well, because uh-huh. you uh-huh. at least authorized the top line, but then all the details and the prior school budgets are also on the school page. So there's no lack of info.
And there's been a heavy tradition just for the, hopefully the new listener, you know, the town doesn't get involved in school policy really unless we're requested to for some reason. It's fairly rare. You know, my responsibility to the town charter is to work with them collaboratively, which we do. Very good working relationship with the school department and their team, and we try to look at what their needs are and what their numbers are from a macro view. But to your point, Steve, we don't really get into the micro. Because that's the school committee's purview, and we respect that. And that's just the way that the statutory checks and balances work. Mm-hmm. And personally, I think it works for the better. You have various different outlets looking at this stuff from your elected and appointed leaders in town. If you're, you know, again, a listener out there, and you've got the school committee looking at this, they're elected officials. You get the town council looking at this too. You know, they have a different view sometimes based on what they're hearing from their the folks that are talking to them. And then you have a finance committee that stays fairly independent from all that and tries to look at what you're talking about, the trends.
Sure.
Some of the, you know, the charts that we put in there, some of the facts about where the money is going to go, and some of the decisions that are made definitely gets into a little bit more of that at the finance committee level. So hopefully folks can join us for next week and looking out a little wise. Hopefully we'll have the budget wrapped out at the finance committee level on the 4th. But then what we'll see after that is the council will do its budget hearings on May 26th and 27th, usually the two Wednesday, Thursdays before Memorial Day weekend. Right. So last year's folk, as real good observers would note, we didn't actually have it in the same time frame last year. We did it on the football field last year.
Outdoor. Yes.
Which was very fun, but we all agree, hopefully that was a once in a lifetime event. It was a lot of work that went into that and a lot of anxiety. So hopefully we don't have to go back to there. But, and again, plug for you too, Steve. I mean, Franklin TV carries all these meetings live. You can stream them on your device.
Yep.
You can watch them on TV. You can get the recordings of audio later. There's podcasts aplenty. There's really, we've really made the budget process as accessible and as transparent as we possibly can. And so I really hope people take advantage of that, because, you know, it's great to get feedback from people in town and have them a part of the process. So plenty of ways to check in and clue in. And from what I've heard this year, Steve, a lot of people, I joked about it the other day on a radio show too, our Nielsen readings are going through the roof. Because I hear a lot of people are watching a lot of meetings live on TV while they're at home. And that's great to hear.
There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. And certainly they'll have that opportunity. And not just on the key budget hearings, but there's a meeting almost every night somewhere on something. Yeah. So, yeah.
Accessibility it's a, is it's key. A vibrant place. It's good. And you guys and Pete have done a great job on that. So I hope people take advantage of that in this. Oh, it'll be on Zoom. How could I forget?
Everything's based with Zoom.
Everything will be on Zoom for the rest of our lives. I wish I had known who Zoom was 2 years ago and bought stock. But But nonetheless, I mean, it's accessible for everybody to do as much or as little as they want. And I'm excited by that. And I think it's great. And hope people tune in.
No, absolutely. Yeah, Zoom, certainly, if you want to participate actively in terms of if you've got a question, et cetera, via cable, via the live stream, if you just want to observe and listen, podcast later, as you mentioned, you can get the audio that way. There's many choices. So
that's right.
Yep. And while we're still in the pandemic, we're starting to see some gradual reopenings here and there. Certainly, as the community calendar highlighted this week, the Black Box has some outdoor events under the tent. We've talked about the Earth Day events happening tomorrow. One thing that also comes to mind, the police department have a drug take back program happening Sunday. I forgot to mention earlier, but we'll slide that in there because it was in the calendar. But amongst all that, we still have the reminders, you know, the mask, hygiene, things. We're not done yet. We're still in it. So we're just going to maintain things because the numbers at least are in our favor at this point. So,
They're
going in the right direction for sure.
Well, vaccinations are at 2.1 million. That's great news. Obviously, like you said, the case numbers are coming down. So that's good news. And what I'm seeing is that there's talk about, you know, phase 4.2 over the next, you know, few weeks and seeing what that is. I mean, I think that once we get to the 4th of July, I think the hope is obviously that I think the key piece for that maybe is important that a lot of listeners want to know. And I've been getting a lot of phone calls from residents about it this week. I think partially because the Black Box was reopening for some events. Is, well, what does the arts and entertainment world look like? What do festivals look like? Street festivals, right? What about gatherings? And currently right now, the state has this an outdoor gathering limit of 150. You know, and when is that going to go up? Well, as I joked about earlier, I happened to see the Dave Matthews Band release their tour schedule last night, updated, and they have a concert at Great Woods on August 20th. And I thought to myself, wait, a full amphitheater on August 20th? So I think if you look out that far and you're starting to see some book shows and you look where we are now, I think you try to meet it in the middle somehow and you say, hey, maybe, you know, by the 4th, you could get 500 or 1,000. Or maybe there's just open season. If it's an outdoor event, it's just it. We can do what we used to do, you know, but. Obviously, we're going to have to still wait another few weeks at least. And I'm hopeful that before Memorial Day, the governor will at least give us a lay of the road for what the summer looks like. Rhode Island's opening up almost fully at Memorial Day. They've announced weddings, festivals, everything is back. There's going to be reduced capacity. Same thing with New Hampshire. I expect that to be the same thing in Massachusetts. You know, instead of a normal 10,000 capacity or something, you can only have 5 or whatever the numbers are. So all headed in the right direction and all leads back to wear your mask, get vaccinated, still wash your hands, do the basics. You know, we're within the red zone here of scoring a touchdown. You know, we can't give up yet and we got to make sure the numbers still drop in order for our governor to take us to the next level.
Agreed. And I think on a related item for some of the animals amongst us, the pet animals, as in dogs and cats, there's a clinic coming up as well.
Yes, there is. On May 1st, there's a rabies clinic happening at Public Works Way for anybody.
Something other than COVID, really?
Yeah, exactly. Something different, a different kind of shot. So anyone out there who's got a dog or cat who needs, you know, their rabies vaccine, we're holding a clinic. It's from the Bellingham and Franklin Animal Control, and it's $20. So people can show up, make sure that they have any important vaccination history from their vet, and, you know, we can take care of that need for pet owners. So, you'll find the information on our website, if anybody's looking for more, but it's at 15 Public Works Way from 9 to 12 on May 1st.
Good. Yes. We need to take care of the rest of the family, so to speak. Those are important members in many cases.
Yes.
And then looking ahead further to kind of the summertime and maybe even the beginning in June, you've got another teaser coming at us, huh?
Yes, we do. So we, the town of Franklin, in partnership with our neighbor, the town of Wrentham, we were recently awarded a grant from the state, from the Mass Office of Business Development and the Executive Office of Housing and Economic Development to open pop-up shops in our downtown area. The goal is economic recovery from the pandemic, downtown revitalization. So we were very excited and very grateful for the award. And now we're, you know, working really hard to get everything squared away. There's a lot of things that have to come together quickly, but we're looking forward to announcing more and sharing more about this exciting opportunity. So stay tuned, because there's definitely going to be some fun things happening to try to get business back at just a little bit of a higher level in our downtown.
Yeah, certainly, as we've talked here before and in other areas, certainly the Project Envoy has been helping with the restaurants through the April calendar, and then a portion goes back to the food pantry. There's a number of efforts like that underway. But excuse me, the certainly we'll need to help the businesses. And while we've done that in a number of ways, this pop-up thing sounds like it'll help as well. So yeah.
It's a different spin for sure. You know, the pop-up is hoping to provide opportunity for, you know, small business owners who are maybe, you know, not ready or are not quite sure if they want to make the leap to a brick and mortar, and gives them the opportunity to test the market, try out a downtown setting, get familiar with the market that we have here in our community, because we have a very vibrant community here in Franklin that would support a wide variety of business types. And it would be a great way for a business to, you know, get that needed information for them to, you know, make that leap, and also a great place for people who own a business if they're considering expanding, you know, a way to test the market in a way that, you know, is kind of safe, and mm-hmm. and also provide them with an introduction to our community, have them get to know us as a municipality, have them get to know who we are and what Franklin's all about. And, you know, the ultimate goal would be to, you know, attract some business to stay here and to put down some roots in our community and just grow our base.
Yeah, all good. All good for sure.
I would all just say one more quick thing on that is that also the grant comes at a timely moment, connecting back to what Steve, we were just talking about a minute ago with COVID. You know, I mean, you know, Emory, you get awarded the money, then you got to sign a contract with the state that takes a couple of weeks. That's all done, and then you got to do it. So hopefully a lot of the planning takes place over the next several weeks. And by the time another several weeks go by, maybe another 500,000 people get vaccinated, and maybe the regulations go to phase 4.2. So it kind of mm-hmm. coordinates. Emory did a great job kind of timing it out with the grant program to kind of possibly spur, use this as an initiative to maybe get some people to come back out, you know, yeah. and start re-entering society. And I don't say that from a non-compassionate way. I say that because I know all of us are going to go at our own pace at how fast we come back to quote unquote normal life. You know, some people won't go out for a while. Some people will, you know, you got to wait for this or that. And mm-hmm. some people have to deal with family and kids, and everyone's situation is differently, but for some people, this might be a really great way for people to get re-engaged with their community. And so I think that, you know, I'm hopeful that, and I think Anne-Marie believes the same thing. We're hopeful that this can really roll out, you know, in June, July, and August over the summer, when maybe as an incubator to get some people to come out too.
Mm, yeah, because certainly with the warmer weather, the outdoor, we'll have the farmer's market coming back on the Fridays in yep. June. You know,
exactly.
Concerts on the Common will be coordinated with that as well. There'll be opportunities to get out and about to at least
the art walk the Cultural District yeah. Committee is doing in yep. June 11th and 12th yep. and 13th. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah, that's the weekend. Yep. yep. After the graduation.
Yes.
After the graduation. That's right.
And we'll be hearing more about that, because I also understand they're going to do the parade again. So that'll be cool.
That's the rumor. Yeah.
Wow. Anne-Marie and I were always saying that after last year, I wish I could go back to my high school and have a reunion and have a parade like that. That looked like a lot of fun, and I didn't see the kids giving that one up.
A new Franklin tradition.
A new Franklin tradition. Yeah, I was happy to be on the sidelines cheering and talking to them as they were going by in the car and broadcasting live on there. That was fun.
I'm looking forward to doing that again. I loved every second of watching the kids and just how happy they were, especially, you know, a year ago we were kind of, you know, deep into the pandemic, and it was just a joyful day for them. It was great.
Do you remember your high school graduation clearly, Anne-Marie?
I remember where it was, and not very clearly. I mean, I remember bits and pieces, but nothing too earth shattering.
Yeah, around here they used to do all the time. You know, I'm on the football fields, you know, at least years ago, and it was just so hot, you know, and it was speakers, and you know, I just think what they did with that parade last year looked like a lot of fun. You know, it looked like the kids really felt the accomplishment, not just all the adults, which is important too. But
I think so. To the planner's credit, and one of the things that made it so important, everybody who wanted to could participate. Accessibility, and you didn't have to fight for ticket to get into the gym or into the overflow.
You could
just go to your street corner and watch them as they drove by. It was perfect.
It was a throwback to the good old parade years, you know, where you would do that. Like, you know, as a kid, I grew up, you know, my parents took me to the Marlboro Day parade, Labor Day, you know, it was like, we went over to the relative's house two blocks down the street. Everybody took out their chairs and walked down, you know, and it kind of was a throwback in some way to that kind of old style event. It was fun.
Yes.
It definitely was.
Yes. Well, with some more fun, probably coming on your Friday afternoon. Being mindful of the time, thank you for spending time today to talk Franklin, and have a great rest of the day and a great weekend.
Same to you, Steve. Thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008. And used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.